Global stock markets jump off the cliff. America's disapproval of Congress hits a record high. There's a new twist on baby stealing in China. And another firm is accused of faking tests of concrete all over New York. I'm Jane Bornemeyer with this preview of the front page of Friday's New York Times. I'm Jane Bornemeyer with this preview of the front page of Friday's New York Times. In our top story, stocks around the world fell sharply on Thursday on growing investor fears about a slowdown in global economic growth. At the top of the list of worries was Europe's ongoing debt crisis, which is now centered on Italy and Spain. Stock market indexes in the United States and Europe dropped more than 4% as Japan intervened to weaken its currency, and the European Central Bank began buying bonds to try to calm markets. The percentage decline was the biggest since February 2009. Following accelerating declines over the past 2 weeks, the stock market is now officially in correction territory. That's defined as a drop of 10 to 20% since the latest peak. Also at the top of the page, the debate over raising the debt ceiling has sent disapproval of Congress to its highest level on record. And fresh worries about the economy have led a majority of Americans to say that creating jobs should take priority over cutting spending. That's according to the latest New York Times CBS News poll. A record 82% of Americans now disapprove of the way Congress is handling its job. That's the most since the Times began asking the question in 1977. More than 4 out of 5 people surveyed said the recent debt ceiling debate was more about gaining political advantage than about doing what's best for the country. The poll also found that Republicans in Congress shoulder more of the blame for the difficulties in reaching a debt ceiling agreement than President Obama and the Democrats. And the popularity of the Tea Party appears to be in decline. In Washington, the Department of Interior is expected to grant a crucial permit to Royal Dutch Shell to begin drilling exploratory wells in the Arctic Ocean beginning next spring. The move is another sign that the Obama administration is easing its regulatory clampdown on offshore oil drilling. The move suggests that 15 months after a deadly rig accident in the Gulf of Mexico, President Obama is now willing to approve expanded domestic oil and gas exploration in response to high gasoline prices and high levels of unemployment. The pace of granting drilling permits is meanwhile quickening in the Gulf of Mexico. Shell won a permit on Thursday for a floating drill rig for a 4,000-foot well. That means that all 5 of the company's rigs in the Gulf are back to work after a long drilling slowdown. Also in Washington, the Obama administration has reached a patchwork agreement with congressional leaders to end a partial shutdown of the Federal Aviation Administration. The agreement signals an end, at least for a few weeks, to an impasse over policy issues that had left 4,000 agency employees out of work. It idled tens of thousands of workers at hundreds of airport construction projects around the country and cost the federal government more than $300 million in lost taxes on airline tickets. Under the deal, the Senate will rubber stamp a bill that was approved by the House last month. It extends the aviation agency's operations through September 16th. From Longwy County, China, Sharon Lafreniere writes that baby snatching is not a new problem in China. Strict population control policies have helped create a lucrative black market for illicitly adopted children, but parents in Longwy say in their case it's local government officials who treat babies as a source of revenue. They routinely impose fines of $1,000 or more, and if the officials can't get money that way, the babies are illegally confiscated and put up for adoption, and that's another big source of revenue. Despite a few news reports outside the Chinese mainland about government-sanctioned kidnappings in Longwy and other regions, Chinese state-controlled media ignored or suppressed the news until this May, when Kai Jin, an intrepid Chinese magazine well known for unusually bold investigations, reported the abductions and prompted an official inquiry. And in New York, William Rashbaum writes that it was only a year ago that officials from the concrete testing company Testwell Laboratories were found guilty of falsifying results on major public works projects. On Thursday, the owner and 5 employees at the company chosen to replace Testwell surrendered to face charges that they did the same thing on those jobs and hundreds of others. They are accused of falsifying thousands of tests at Yankee Stadium, the Second Avenue subway, public schools, and many other projects and private buildings. A 29-count indictment charges the 6 men and the company, American Standard Testing and Consulting Laboratories, under the state racketeering law. None of the nearly 3,000 test reports that prosecutors seized from the company contained legitimate results, according to one person briefed on the investigation. Among other projects for which test results were falsified were the Lincoln Tunnel, the Air Traffic Control Tower at LaGuardia Airport, the Javits Convention Center, a building at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum. And finally, from Niagara Falls, Ontario, comes this story. Nick Walenda is a seventh-generation circus performer, the Zion of the famed Flying Walendas. He set the world record for furthest distance traveled by bicycle on a high wire, and now he has set his sights on a new deed of daredevilry, walking on a wire across Niagara Falls. But first, Mr. Walenda must confront an unusual diplomatic dilemma. He needs to persuade officials of both Canada and the United States to abandon a century-old aversion to stunts as an affront to dignity of the falls. And his quest has become tenser than a tightrope. American officials have embraced the idea in an effort to boost the flagging fortunes of Niagara Falls, New York. But Canadian officials, flush with casino riches, have balked. And that's a preview of the front page of Thursday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or go to nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Jane Bornemeyer.